against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled,
you want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are, coming to you live from our top-secret broadcasting bunker. Let me turn down some volume on this microphone. There we go. That's got to be better. Coming to you from Area 52. Some people, believe it or not, they come here and that's all they want is to be able to see Area 52. I don't get that. Because they know that we either can't show it to them, or if they insist, we do. Well, let's just say that their graves have not been discovered yet, okay? That's because they haven't dug them. Anyway, good to be with you today. I apologize for Tuesday, because I was chomping at the bit to get on here and do it. And I'm not kidding you. This has happened. I quit counting. The number of times when right before or right at the very beginning of Pastor Mike Online, the internet goes out. And that's what happened Tuesday. The internet went out 15 minutes before noon, which was the time of the Pastor Mike Online live program. 15 minutes before, and then the girls downstairs told me that it came back on at 1:30, which is almost toward the end of PMO time. That's happened before. Software crashes. When the software has never crashed before. The computer goes bad. Something happens with it. And it's never done that. It doesn't do that any other time except PMO time. And so anyway, there's just... I don't know if... I'm not saying that somebody at Charter was sent to pull the plug on our internet because they are afraid of something I'm going to say. Charter is our cable TV / broadband internet thing. I don't believe somebody did that. What I do know is that our wrestling is against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And they are always going to be at battle, at war with us. They're going to do battle with us. They're going to try to destroy us, and if they can't destroy us, they will try to nullify or stop what it is that we're doing for God's kingdom. And I am employed by God. I do what he tells me to do. Now, keeping that in mind, a guy in our church, John, asked me last night, he said, so did you record PMO? And I went, no. Because I've had problems in the past where we couldn't stream out PMO because the internet's down. I would go ahead and do PMO just like the internet was on, knowing that I was just recording it. And then once it's recorded, then I can put it out later. But I spent some time trying to figure out if it was on us or not. As far as the internet was concerned, I called Charter and they said, we are aware of an outage in your area. We will respond as soon as possible. Yeah, okay. But anyway, we are wrestling against spirits that do not want the message that we have to go out. Doesn't want. I even tried my iPad. I carry the iPad Pro and I use it as a wireless hotspot. And, I was trying to get internet from there and couldn't do it. So anyway, I was frustrated, and the thought of recording the program and doing it never crossed my mind. So when I see things like that, I know that the devil does war against us. as much as God allows him to do it. Now, my thing is, if God really wanted me to do a live or recorded PMO Tuesday, I would have done it. God would have put it into my mind, well, Mike, since you can't stream it, you can at least record it. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at somebody that believes in the sovereignty of God. You're looking at somebody that, in spite of all the self-help, life coaching messages, it's not a sermon. These churches are not delivering sermons anymore. They're not preaching anymore. They're your life coach, and they're giving you tips on how you can become wealthy, how you can become healthy, how you can have your best life now, whatever. They're trying to tell you all these things, and they're not using the Word of God to do it. And so I believe that God has total control over everything in the world, and the churches aren't preaching it. The churches are saying to people, you mean you want to be healed? Yeah. You want God to prosper you? You want God to do this or want God to do that? Well, God can't do it until you release him to do it. God can't do these things until you give God permission to do it. If God really wants this, but you won't let him do it. Folks, that's a... In fact, I'll use this sound effect. Get a load of that one. I'm going to turn that up a little bit, do it again. Yeah. Hear my sound effects coming through? I don't know. I have to check on that again. Probably something else I got to fool with. Anyway. Well, something worked that time. Anyway, so it didn't come into my mind to record PMO Tuesday, and I apologize for that. But apparently God just said no. God just said no for some reason, and I'm fine with that. But I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe if God wants you someplace, you'll wake up one day and you'll be there. No doubt in my mind about it. So that's what you trust in. You trust in the sovereignty of God. Speaking of the churches, let's get right into this. And by the way, I want to monitor emails as they come in. So if you would, if you've got anything to say or comment on, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com, let's see, there it is right there across the bottom, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. That's my email address, and I'm going to try to watch for your comments and things like that as they come in today. I don't normally think of it because my mind's so wrapped up in getting some stuff out of me. I don't always look at the emails. I'm going to try to do that more often. While we're talking about, we're going to get, there's some articles on what's going on in some churches that you need to be made aware of, but I want to show you this right now. Our good friend Kevin lives in the area, roughly, where we're going to be doing our second annual Prophecy Roadshow in Delphi, Indiana. We started that last year. If you remember, we were scheduled to go to a church to minister out in Oklahoma, and we were prepared to go. We had everything ready to go, and they canceled on us. And I know the reason why. They were having some trouble in their church, and they canceled on us, so I was fine with that. But I thought, well, let's just do something somewhere else then. So we know several families in the Delphi, Indiana area that follow our ministry, and we called them in literally days before we're doing this. Do you think we can set up a meeting real quick, a set of meetings? So there is this this rental hall that we meet in Delphi. There's the address up there, 2830 West 640 North is the address. Delphi, Indiana. It's the Rock Creek Community Center. And Brother Kevin made this up for advertisements. He is going to run advertisements in the local papers to try to stir up interest. And you see, let's see here. I wonder if I had. No, I thought I had the titles of what I was going to do. Maybe that's something else that I was supposed to do somewhere. Maybe that's Fargo I'm thinking of. But anyway, we have the titles. I'm working on the sermons now for this. We'll have them ready Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to be talking about the Mark of the Beast. We're going to be talking about the rapture. Let's see, what else? Other things related to Bible prophecy. Each night, it is absolutely free. We don't charge any money. I don't really take up an offering. If you want to give to help with our expenses, I mean, our travel expenses, we have to rent the hall, things like that. And so if you want to help out with that, that would be great. But we want you there. We already have several families that said they were going to show up there, and they're going to try to bring others. And somebody is asking me if they can make up flyers to hand out to people. I think it's an excellent idea. So I sent them this ad copy so that their flyers could kind of match, you know, what's coming out in the papers. People get a flyer, and then they look in the paper, and they see that ad, and they're going, oh, I got this, you know, the other day. Maybe I should, you know, think about going to this. So anyway, it's going to be some good meetings. I like having meetings in places other than churches, not all churches. If I know the pastor to be a friend of mine, and I know that he has given me liberty to say what I think I need to say, I don't have a problem in the world with that. We're going to Brother Lonnie Burke's church. He's the one that does the camp meeting every year out in Harrison, Arkansas. And he's invited us down in October. It'll be the next weekend after the Prophecy Roadshow. And he wants me to speak on the King James Bible. And I know that with Brother Lonnie, I have liberty to say what I think needs to be said. Does that mean that he's right, I'm right on everything? No, it's just I want that liberty. But I was invited to a conference where it was going to be at this church, and the pastor of that church was not all excited about me showing up for this conference. Now, he liked all the other speakers, didn't have a problem with them. He did like me. And it had to do with two words, King James. He did not like that. And so I very graciously told the pastor, look, brother, I'm not trying to say this mean, but if I'm going to come to your church and speak, then you must give me liberty to speak, or I will respect your authority as pastor. But if I speak, I say the words King James. And if that's going to be an issue, don't invite me, because I don't want to just go and somebody, I wouldn't let somebody come behind my pulpit and say, now everybody get out your NIVs. We believe that's the best translation. And I wouldn't let somebody do that behind my pulpit. And so I can understand him not wanting me. When I do conferences in community centers, meeting halls, places like that that you rent, there's no pastor there telling me what I can and cannot do, what I can and cannot say. And so I like that kind of liberty. I like that freedom. But anyway, that's coming up. October 16th, 17th, 18th, Rock Creek Community Center, 2830 West, 640 North, Delphi, Indiana. We want you to be there. All right. Now, let's talk about what's going on in La News. Okay. Let's talk about that. Number one, Michael and Alicia are over in Kenya right now. And, It turned out real good. The reason for going is that we needed a new, like a transmitter for the radio tower. We rent a space on that tower and we put our transmitter up there. Well, the one in Turkana is going bad. It's not working half the time. So we bought a brand new one, and Michael was going to ship it over to Kenya, but they would have charged 100% tax on this. So it would have doubled the cost. And even then, after having paid the tax, you know what I mean? The tax to a government official. We had no guarantee that they'll release the transmitter to be taken out to Turkana. We had no guarantee of that because Kenyan politicians, not all of them, but many of them are very, very crooked. And they'll charge you a tax, and then they may or may not release your merchandise until you pay another tax. Okay. So anyway, pray for them and pray for the ministry out in Kenya. We are in an area in Turkana and Samburu, where we are broadcasting into predominantly Muslim communities. That is having an impact in that area. And I get overwhelmed when I talk about it. And to me, it's just such a blessing that God gave this to us. But let me read this. Ariel sent out this. She sent it as she has several people on her mailing list. But she said, I've just had two basic points here. The church will undergo persecution. 100% I agree with that. We will be persecuted. We will have our faith on trial, people. Number two, Muslims will kill others for nothing more than not being a Muslim or refusing to become one. Now, here's the article. Kenyan Christians killed for refusing to cite Islamic shahadada, shahadada, bodum, shahadada, shahadada. You know what that is there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. I think it's what it is. Three Kenyan Christians were hacked to death by Al-Shabaab. That's not some guy named Al, last name Shabaab. Terrorist organization, militants on Friday night, August 18th, after they refused to recite Islamic prayer of faith. A fourth Christian, the mentally challenged older brother, one of the three, he was also killed. At around 9 p.m., Changawa Mutimba, who was in his 40s, was dragged out of his home in Kasala, Kairu, Lamu County by a group of armed men and taken to the nearby home of his brother-in-law, Joseph Kasina, where a 17-year-old neighbor, Kadinga Kitana, also happened to be at that time. The three men were held at machete point. Folks, let me inject this. I got another one, too, somewhere around here. Here we go. Let me inject this. Whatever you think you believe about liberals wanting gun control and the reason why they want it, if you think that it's only for the safety and the protection of the citizens of the United States of America, you are dead wrong. If you think that if we give up our guns, then only the government will have guns. And then once all the guns are off the street, there will be no more criminal acts. There will be no more terrorism. If that's what you think, you are definitely wrong. In Kenya, it is forbidden to own a firearm. Not even a lot of the politicians have firearms. The governor of Samburu asked me when I went out to dedicate the well. I was having breakfast with him. And I was mentioning to him and a member of parliament that was sitting next to him about I like to go deer hunting every year. And he just kind of looked at me funny. So I explained deer hunting. And that's not why they looked at me funny. They wanted to know, did I have a gun? And I said, yeah. And they just turned and looked at each other and went. Later on, as we was leaving that building to go into the car to drive out to the well, the governor asked me, he said, just how many guns do you have? And I went, 10. And he's like, he couldn't believe it. You cannot carry and have a firearm in Kenya. They are not even allowed, from what I learned, at least in Nairobi, they're not even allowed to carry a pocket knife. But they got these big old long machetes walking around with them. Here's my point. There are no guns in Kenya. These people didn't use guns. They used swords. They used giant meat cleavers, okay? What in the world was that? Well, I hit that one wrong. But that's what they used. They used machetes, and they hacked to death these three people. Why? For their testimony of Jesus Christ and their loyalty to God's word, God's holy name, God's kingdom, and praise the Lord, these people are in heaven right now. And you say, well, you don't know that, Pastor. You don't know their doctrine. I know what they did. Jesus said, if you confess me before my Father in heaven, so will I confess you before, if you confess me among men, so will I confess you among my my Father which is in heaven. Something like that. I just butchered it, but you get the idea. And I think them refusing to accept the Muslim faith and hang on to what they knew about Jesus Christ, I think it speaks to the testimony of the real spirit that is in them. Anybody else that God does not have his spirit in, they run like a little chicken. Okay? But anyway, you pray for Kenya. You pray for these families that are out there. These families here, of the three that got killed, you pray for them and lift them up. Because like I say, I love Kenya and I love the people of Kenya. And I don't know when I'm going back. So you help me pray about that. I would love to go see the work in Turkana. I've already seen part of what's going on in Samburu, but I would like to see Turkana. So anyway, you just pray for our ministry as we work and labor out there, that God will protect us and keep us safe. We've already had, and my son-in-law tells me that usually once, twice, even three times a month, somebody from the Catholic Church will come and demand that they not play any sermons that put down and show as, you know, heretical the Roman Catholic Church. They don't like what I'm saying. Then don't listen to it. But see, them not wanting me to say anything is the same reason, and Chris Pinto showed me this, the same reason why in the Catholic Bible that he had, there was an article of called Forbidden Books. Books that, if you were a Catholic, you were not allowed to read. And the King James Bible was mentioned by name. And it was the first thing mentioned by whoever wrote this article in this Catholic Bible. Not only do they hate the Bible, they hate the King James Bible and do not want anybody reading it. Likewise, here's this Roman Catholic, these Roman Catholics, I think it was a bishop or one of the priests there or something like that, coming down demanding that we not play that anymore. They're afraid. They're afraid that, and see, Turkana is a predominantly Roman Catholic area. They don't want their people being set free from the bondage that is Rome. Woo! And I'm here to tell you, Christ has made me free. Christ has made you free. And I believe that Christ wants to make all men free. I want people to be free. I want people to know what it is that God has done for me. He has given me a liberty and a freedom that I never had in my life. And if you know the Lord, you know that's exactly how it is. But these guys up in Turkana do not want God's people speaking against the Catholic Church. They do not want their people to hear it. Because with all of these people comes the Roman Catholic Church's absolute dictatorship authority over all these Roman Catholics. Whatever that priest or whatever that bishop says to do, they have to do it. I mean, what kind of nonsense is this that you don't eat fish or you don't eat a hamburger or any kind of meat on Friday, but you can eat a fish? Where's that in the Bible? Well, it is, actually. Paul talked about to Timothy, I can't remember the scripture, so I better look it up. Forbidding, let's see here, F-O-R-B-I-D-D-I-N. See, I can still count and type. Let's see. Yeah, 1 Timothy 4:3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Where did God say that we're not allowed to eat meat on Good Friday? It's not there. It is one of those rules the Catholic Church set up, and if you don't follow those rules, you're sinning against God. If you eat something other than a Filet-O-Fish sandwich from McDonald's, then you're going back to purgatory or you're going back to hell. That's all there is to it. Now, we need to say a few more masses to cover for that, and that's going to cost you a little bit. Where did these rules come from? They didn't come out of the Bible. They came from the hierarchy that is the Catholic Church, and it's about total control. And anytime I see people getting bullied, I was bullied a lot as a kid. I was bullied a lot, and I let people do it. And for the most part, I still do. And I know the hurt and the pain that goes with somebody bullying you. You are in fear all the time that they're going to catch you somewhere where not everybody's around and they're going to hurt you. And I would be in bondage to these bullies. Same thing with the good people of Turkana. The Roman Catholic Church is your bully, telling you what to believe, telling you you can't eat goat meat on Friday, on Good Friday, telling them all kinds of things that are not anywhere in the Bible. But all of that is intended to place them under the dominion of the Vatican Church and bully them. And it makes me angry. And I want to put a stop to this for those people's sake and for the kingdom of God's sake. I know I'm not going to flush out all the Roman Catholics out of Kenya. But what I can do is if they're going to say this over here, I'm going to say this over here and then let people decide who they're going to believe. But my opinion is that if people are introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ and given the pure words of God, then they stand a whole lot better chance of being saved than they would be sticking into the Catholic Church. And so you pray for what's going on in Kenya. And here is another story, an anti-gun control story. Knife man storms into a church and stabs three worshipers in front of a horrified 150-strong congregation. A 46-year-old man. Think of that. Whoa! 46-year-old man has been arrested after three worshipers were stabbed in church in front of a horrified 150-strong congregation. Police were called to the New Jerusalem Apostolic Church at 10:50 this morning. This happened a couple days ago, September the 10th. Officers arrested a 46-year-old man at the church in Aston, Birmingham, that would be England, on suspicion of attempted murder. Unreal. Again, Britain has strict gun control laws. And they want the people of Great Britain to be protected. And so their idea is that if we don't allow any guns, then there's not going to be any more crime. They don't allow guns in Kenya, so the bad guys don't have guns. And even if they were able to get access to illegal guns, most Kenyans could not afford to buy one, much less a dozen of them. Just because they've outlawed guns does not mean that evil men will no longer be able to kill good people. If somebody, well, I've made this statement before, if somebody were to come into our church with a semi-automatic weapon, they were there with a firearm, walking in, ready to start shooting. I promise you, that guy is going to get shot and killed in this church. We would not allow somebody to come in our church and start stabbing people or shooting them. That's the difference between the United States and England and Kenya. And I'm telling you, people, the gun control debate is one of, I think, the most important debates that exist in our country. Because once they remove the Bibles, that, remember, that's the Word of God, that's Jesus. Once they remove Jesus, devils creep in. Evil spirits creep in. The gun rights that we have in this country serve as a reminder and a protection of the people, not from some foreign terrorist, but protection of the people, in some cases, from their own government. I am not an anarchist. I am not one of these sovereign citizens. I've been watching and reading stuff about those guys. Those guys are dangerous. I want to get into that. But it is our duty to protect our people. And if the government wants to take over the rights of us citizens from having guns, they then will, after that, take away our Bibles. They will. Let me show you something. Let me put this up on the screen here so all y'all can see it. King James Pure Bible Search Software. You ought to get a copy of it. Let's go to 1 Samuel. This software is amazing. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Saul is king. And in verse 19, and God is already in the process of rejecting Saul. Saul is so powerful, or so powerless now, that just four chapters later, the Philistines are going to march right into the land of Judah and threaten to take over the land of Israel. That's what they're going to do. Boy, there's a... I just thought of something. Let me do this. Because I think the stories in the Bible are typology. I think God is showing us how to recognize what is going on in our days. And he does it through the language of the scriptures. Let's see here. Where am I going? Oh, Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Let me back up. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Look at this. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. The devil wants to rule over God's people. He wants to sit on God's throne, and he is going to be booted out of heaven. And a third of those angels are going to be booted out with him. Now, I'm just formulating a theory right in front of your very ears, okay? I think the typology of David and Goliath, the Philistines represent these evil spirits, these angels that were cast out. Goliath represents, to me it's clear, Goliath represents the Antichrist. He is an hybrid. He is the son or the grandson of Anak. He is of the giants, which means that his father was a fallen angelic spirit and his mother was a human mother. I won't say his father, but his great-great-grandfather, whoever it was, a spirit conceived into a human woman, this child, and later on it shows up as Goliath. I hope I'm not confusing you with this. But anyway, the Philistine army, I think, represents those spirits, and Goliath is their champion. And they're wanting to invade and take over God's kingdom and God's house. God's heaven. I think they want to take that over. And I think the picture that you have of the Philistines and Goliath is that picture of these evil spirits trying to regain what they lost by being expelled from it. Now, again, that is a brand new thought. I have no proof or justice to back it up yet, but I am going to study it out, or you can study it out on your own. But he said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And we are fighting every day against the devil, against his spirits, against those things that would have power against us, against Lucifer himself, who wants to be seated on God's throne. Let's see here. Kenyan Christians, knife in the church. All right, here we go. Here's another good one. Oh, let me do this first. I want to read some emails first, and I'm going to keep them private because I'm not allowed to really give out names unless they give me permission. I got some new coffee up here. You've seen the Bananas Foster. Let me get full screen here. This is, oh, you're going to love this. I tasted it, and it's good. Okay? This is like the third or fourth batch. Oh, that's good. Of the King James Coffee. Okay? This is from our friends at outofthegreatcoffee.com. That's their King James Coffee. Now, he told me that the software that they use to keep track of bonuses and things like that, they have it like a reward system. They don't know how to make it work with the code word. And the code word, what was the code word? I don't remember. Oh, wait a minute. I have it here somewhere. Maybe I hope it didn't get tossed. I think it's King James Code. But if you go to their website and order coffee, type in the promo code King James Code. I think that's what it is. Or maybe it's Think Bible, one of the two. Instead of getting a 10% discount, if I remember this right, let me pull up my text message from him to make sure I get it right. I think you get a 50% discount. Where did I drop my phone at? Oh, here it is right behind me. You guys were going, hey, it's right there. I'm pretty sure you get a 15% discount. All right, so let me look that up real quick. Let me just type his name in here. There we go. Yeah. He said, I increased the King James code to 15%. If you go on there and type in the code, King James code, you get a 15% discount on your order. That is awesome. Woo! Man, that's cool. So, and you got to try this. They can make just about any flavor that you want. They can't. You tell them what roast you want. You tell them what beans you want. You tell them what flavors you want. And they will do that. It's a custom thing, but they will do that. And I'm pretty sure you can either get it whole bean or ground. These are all ground here. And I put these in my Keurig. Okay? I buy the little cups that you can get to pour whatever kind of coffee you want in there. And I use these in my Keurig. And that makes a great, great cup of coffee. So anyway, visit their website, outofthegreat.com. And then, look at this. I had to really refrain myself. The brothers that run Saratoga Crackers, saratogacrackers.com. They came for homecoming and left a few sample bags of these crackers. They make them themselves, and they were gone. So I had a little bit left, and I was showing what I had left. And I mentioned, hey, if you want to, send me some more crackers. So they did. And the sugar and cinnamon ones, I want you to look at this. The bag started out looking like this, and it looks like this. I had a hard time stopping myself from eating this entire bag of sugar and cinnamon crackers from saratogacrackers.com. There's their website there. And I don't know if they give a discount or anything like that. It's a pretty small company, small outfit. But you can order the crackers. I've got sugar and cinnamon, which I, like I said, I had to make myself stop eating them so I would have enough to show you during PMO. Many things are good. This here, hot pepper and chili, or cheddar. Woo! This one, I'm not a fan of kale. These were good. Okay? Saratoga spice and Parmesan, that's what I've been featuring. Saratoga spice and Parmesan, there we go. And then, the hot pepper cheddar. Look at that. And then, this is awesome right here. These are, looks like crackers, right? It's not. It's cheddar cheese. Mmm. This is garlic cheese crackers. They are absolutely delicious. I love these things. And again, where's my hat? Georgia Concrete. Again, they're not paying me to do all this. Okay? If you have a product or a business, you follow our ministry, you'd like a shout out on Pastor Mike Online about your business or your product, just say the word. Okay? I'll do it. I love God's people. Don't mind helping them out when I can. Let me read a couple emails. This goes into a little bit about of what I've been saying all along is going on in these churches. I won't name the names, but it's a family that's been following our church for quite some time. And they sit at home and they home church. Now, for those of you who do not have not seen this video, there is a video on YouTube that I did called Home Church and Evangelism. And so many people were telling me that they sit in their living room and watch us, and they consider our church to be their church. So I did a study on whether or not this is right or not. I had a feeling it was, but I wanted to know from the Word of God before I went around saying everything. So I went to the Word of God. You know what I found? You know what you will find when you look in the book of Acts? You will find that the church gatherings in most places was in somebody's home. Okay? That's what they were. And what I did in this video is, I said, if you're going to home church, then treat your home on Sunday morning like it was your church. Don't sit around in your pajamas. This is the house of the Lord. If you're going to home church, invite people. Bring them over. One of our good sisters, Pat, called me last night, said she had a friend at her house, a visitor, and she wanted to talk to me a little bit, and then she said that she has agreed to stay here and watch your Wednesday night service, you know, when you stream it live. That is doing the right thing. There are several families that they have home church and they invite people over. This couple here, so you know, look for that video, Home Church and Evangelism. This couple here have been trying to find churches in the area. Can't find one. Find one that sticks with the King James. So they have decided to home church with us. And they always get this, well, you're not doing right because you're forsaking the assembling of together of the believers. No, they're assembling. They're assembling together, number one, as a family. Number two, they are assembling together with their invited neighbors. Number three, they are assembling together with us through the miracle of the internet. That's how it works nowadays. But they've had some friends of theirs, longtime friends, who has been telling them, you need to quit watching Bethel Church online. That's your whole problem right there. So they had some friends that they have had for years. They believe that they're Christians. But I tell you, when I read the email, when I read what they wrote, I have serious doubts. serious doubts. But anyway, this one couple who was being described as church hoppers, I know these kind of people, they finally settled on this church that was kind of a startup church, and boy, they really liked it. And so they started inviting this couple in my email to their Bible studies, and they graciously declined. And they said, well, why are you declining? And they said, well, you know, we went to, let me read what they said so I don't get it right. Our friends emailed us and invited us again. I think it was to this Bible study or the church or whatever. Yeah, it was the Bible study. They went one time to this Bible study, and all they heard was all these other translations and not a king. And here's, let me tell you about these small groups for a minute. I'm chasing rabbits today, so why not? A lot of you guys out there know what the Hegelian dialect is, don't you? Okay. It is thesis versus antithesis. And when you bring those two together, you get them to crash together. And what forms out of that is synthesis. It's done in politics. It's done in business. It's done everywhere. And it's also being done in churches in the form of group Bible studies. Because even though you have a leader in these Bible studies, he'll bring up some topic, discuss it a little bit, and then he'll go around the group and say, what do you think about that? Or, what do you think about this verse? Or what do you think about that? Or what do you think about all these things? And whatever people said was okay. Even if there were very, very, you know, if there were huge disagreements between people, nobody would correct anybody. But the whole point of that is to get everybody in the collective to think the same things, even if they believe something different the day before. In a lot of these Bible studies, you have church people and non-church people. Yes, I'm using Rick Warren's language. Church people and non-church people, and they're in this Bible study, and the topic comes up, the mentor says a few things, and then people in the group will speak up. If these church people, if they say one thing based upon what they believe the Bible says, you have these lost people who give something entirely different. The church people are told, don't judge them. Don't correct them. We want to, maybe there's something that you can learn from them. I don't think so. So what they want is they want the church people. These groups are not about saving lost people. The way they're run, they're about bringing church people down to the same level as the pastor is and dumbing them down and getting them to stop taking stands on issues and doctrines and Bibles. So they go to this Bible study, and whatever people say, nobody's corrected. The group leader does say, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but the Bible says that none of that went on. And then everybody in the room had something other than a King James Bible. So what happened is, they were invited again. The couple said, we greatly declined without giving any reason. We have talked at length with them about the KJV Bible, and they strongly disagree with us. The wife even has no problem with the Message Bible. This has always been a huge difference and problem for us in our relationship with them, but we have continued our friendship and prayed for them. We invited them over the past weekend, as we have been doing for years, to visit and pray together. They came, but with a mission to convince us that we were wrong and should be coming to their church. The husband was very angry at us, and he said he had been angry all week because we declined to join him. He said he was saying this out of love for us and that we have known each other for 20 years, and as good friends, they were telling us how wrong we were. And they said the husband then basically mocked us for believing the King James Bible. He cuts us off if we ever try to explain the facts of how the modern Bibles have been altered. He will not consider what we tell them. And so they told me in the email, they said, Pastor, you're our pastor, and Bethel's our church. And it doesn't matter what these other people say. They can condemn us all they want to and mock our Bibles. But we are not backing down from them. And I commend you in front of everybody for your willingness to take a stand on the Word of God. God will reward that. And there's some areas of life and situations that this couple is struggling with. Okay? You know, not some kind of immorality thing. But I believe that God is going to bless you and to help you get through these crises that are in you guys' life. You just keep standing. Don't stand for God in hopes that you're going to get something out of it. You stand for God because He has already given you the greatest thing anybody could ever receive. That is His Son. You folks, keep believing the Word of God. And don't go to, what church is this? Oh, this is Fort Wayne, Indiana. The worship band of a non-denominational quote-unquote church in Indiana recently performed the song Money Talks from the rock group AC/DC. They're the ones that sing Highway to Hell. The worship band did this during the Monday service to correspond with the pastor's sermon series. I have a friend, I haven't seen him in years. He came and did a seminar for us here at Bethel years ago. And he used to go around doing seminars on rock music at churches. And I asked him, I said, and I was trying to be critical, I said, you don't do much of that anymore. And he said, no, I don't. He said, there's two reasons, Michael. Number one, the music now has become so vulgar and so evil sounding. He said, you know, I used to go around playing clips in these churches of what these people were talking about and even some of the backward messages and so on. He said, I can't do it anymore. It's so raw, crude, evil, and so full of adultery that he can't do it for that. And he said, the second reason why I'm not doing rock and roll seminars in churches is that most churches now have embraced rock and roll music. Not just contemporary Christian music, blatant, overt rock and roll music. Most churches have turned over to this, and they are not no way are they going to have me come to their church to tell them how bad rock and roll is when they're doing it. And folks, this is the way it's going to go. Watch this now. The church is to be separate from the world. Slowly but surely, we're bringing the world into the church. And it's not going to happen that the church then is going to save the world. The world is going to corrupt the church. And it has. So this church has their rock group band singing Money Talks. I've never heard that phrase. If you can look up the lyrics for me and send that to Pastor, if you think the lyrics are relevant, send that to me at PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. All right? Because if you think those lyrics are relevant, send them to me. Come on, put your hands together. Point Church. Point Church. P-O-I-N-T. You know what that is? Center Point. That's a music thing. Center Point. The Center Point Church. Come on, church, put your hands together. Declared Fort Wayne Point Church Worship Pastor Josh Anders as an electric guitar riff and drums beat behind him. It's got some of the lyrics. Tailored suits, chauffeured cars, fine hotels and big cigars, up for grabs, up for a price, he sang out. Members of the worship team clapped and danced in the rock song, which was altered slightly to replace the tune's reference to where the red hot girls keep on dancing through the night. To where the rock and roll bands keep rocking through the night. At the conclusion of the song, the music pastor Anders asked those in the congregation to give it up for the lead guitars, those present clapped and cheered. The selection of Money Talks was meant to tie into the Point Church sermon series entitled I Was Broke, Now I'm Not, was performed directly after leaders led those present in a prayer asking that God would speak to those in the attendance who do not know him. All right, let's try this again. Okay, this is the talk show Hell Hates, and the more we get cut off, the more you know why. I just had another internet problem again, and the feed wasn't, my software's telling me the feed's not being sent out to either Facebook or Sermon Audio, so I had to cut it off and redo it. Anyway, we was talking about this Center Point Church, and it's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, playing rock and roll music from AC/DC as part of their worship service. And probably the church leaders were saying, Lord, help us reach people through this music. Okay? That's the condition of a lot of churches right now. I'm going to tell you something. At one time, I was them. I know what I'm talking about. The reason why I did not want to stick with the King James was because I wanted people to come to my church and put money in the plate. And I was going to have a heavy metal rock and roll band play. God said no. God began to chastise me and chasten me, straighten me out. So I get it. I know the motivation here behind what they're doing. I know why they're thinking what they're thinking. Let's bring the world into the church. Then the church will be full. And I, as the pastor, will get a lot of money and a lot of, we can have more campuses. We can be famous. Folks, this is turning into an apostate world. The devil truly wants to try to rule over the lives of men everywhere. What can we talk about now? We did that. This stuff's building up. Let's see here. That's plan. Oh, here. I want to do this one. A man claims he can summon aliens. Let's see here. Two alien spacecrafts allegedly appeared in the sky after being summoned by a group led by one of the world's most well-known UFO investigators. It is shockingly claimed in a video. Video of the quote-unquote alien contact session held by Dr. Stephen Greer shows the appearance of one and then a second orange glowing ball of light above the ocean at Vero Beach, Florida. Mr. Greer, a former medical doctor, has been at the heart of a disclosure project to try to get the U.S. government to release all files it has on aliens and UFOs and admit that aliens have visited the Earth. In 2001, he helped organize congressional hearings that brought several witnesses before Congress to debate the issue. He also founded the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, said to be an international scientific research and education organization dedicated to the furtherance of our understanding of extraterrestrial intelligence. Mr. Greer, who claims he can get alien craft to appear by meditating. Now, why do I believe this story? Because I do. I do believe this story. Mr. Greer claims he can get alien spacecraft to appear by meditating, tells the group of two objects contained, uh, tells the tells the group of two objects contained beings on board them and that they are communicating with them. Let's see here. What else? The video, there's a video attached to this. He says to the group of students who are being taught the alleged technique, what is that orange object? OMG, wow. You see that color? Someone asks if it's just a flare, but replies, oh, no, no. Thank them for coming. Oh, here they come. There are two. Look at how this is gorgeous. I'm looking at the night scope, and there is no smoke, no trails. Those are not flares. Let's welcome them here. And Greer goes, you can hear him in the video saying, connect to them in your consciousness and invite them here. Let me tell you something. Get your Bible. Oh, I thought I'd pour my coffee out. Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? Here it is under my article. Go to Ezekiel 1. Go to Ezekiel 1. Let's learn a little bit. Do I believe in UFOs? Yep. I believe in them. Not all of them. Some are hoaxes. Some are natural phenomenon. Project Blue Book. It was a secret clandestine thing done in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on by the, I think it was the Navy or the Air Force, one of the two. And I think it was the Air Force. And they investigated all of these alleged sightings of UFOs led by J. Allen Hynek. J. Allen Hynek was like the lead investigator for Project Blue Book. And at the time, he was a physicist. And at the time, he was a non-believer. After Hynek does a lot of the work for Project Blue Book, writes up all of these reports of the investigations that they did concerning these UFOs, they determined that many of them had natural causes or that they were proven hoaxes, but not all of them. Hynek found so many of the stories so credible that he changed his position on the whole UFO phenomenon, believing without any doubt that we were being visited on this planet by a superior race. Aliens, you can call them. Okay? In fact, J. Allen Hynek was brought in to do one scene of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. See, Hynek is the one, I think, who came up with that Close Encounters thing. Close Encounters of the First Kind, which is a sighting of a UFO. Close Encounters of a Second Time is you observe the craft landing on the earth. The Close Encounters of the Third Kind is actual contact with an extraterrestrial biological entity or an alien. So Hynek was brought in. He did this one scene, just like a 10-second shot. The alien mothership has landed, and Hynek comes through the crowd and comes right to the front with his, you know, pipe in his hand, and he's looking at the spaceship. Okay? He gets Spielberg put him in to give him the credit for Project Blue Book and the things that he has announced. But Hynek at one time didn't believe in UFOs. Then all of a sudden he changes his mind. And he did so for a reason. There are things that are actually visiting the earth, or maybe, let me put it this way. Maybe they are trying to appear as aliens from the Dog Star or wherever. But I believe that a lot of UFO stories are true, and I believe what I believe because what I see in the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel's describing what these four cherubs look like. He says in verse 5 of Ezekiel 1, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. but they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings and their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. I want to skip down to, let's see here. Where's it coming? Oh, that verse 16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like under the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went out, they went upon four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes round about them. So, basically, these four cherubs, if you study Ezekiel 1, these four cherubs was God's chariot. Literally, God's conveyance, his automobile. Each angel, above their heads, you know, there were four of them together, and above their heads was a platform, and the throne sitting on top of that firmament. And who's sitting on the throne? God is. It's God's chariot. The Psalms, I can't remember what Psalms it was, but David said the chariots of the Lord are 10,000, even thousands of angels. Eric von Daniken wrote a book called Chariots of the Gods. And what he did was, is he went through all this ancient mythology and folklore, and he heard all of these stories of people on earth being visited by very bright chariots that drive through the sky instead of going on ground. The truth of whatever those stories are, the truth of that is in the Word of God. And you understand that there are certain aliens, or let me say it this way, certain angels that have the appearance of chariots. The Bible says so. Do I believe that earth and people on the earth are being deceived by this whole UFO phenomenon? Absolutely, because I know who the aliens are. I know, it's the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, okay? Get your King James Bible search software out and look this word up, alien. In the Old Testament, it represents somebody that's not part of your nation or your country. In the New Testament, it takes on a little bit different. There's one verse here, Hebrews 11:34. Let me put that on the screen for you. Hebrews 11:34. This is the Faith Hall of Fame. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, you can say that, Pastor Mike, that was talking about the Philistines. That was talking about, I know, I get it. In a prototypical fashion, the Israelites were driving out people who didn't like, just like the Philistines in 1 Samuel 17. The people were driving out aliens from another country that did not belong in their land. Hey, you kids, get off my lawn! Okay, that's what they were saying. But I also think that there are devils who will be trespassing in places where they're not allowed to be. They come from another country, which is the heavenly realm. They are a different people than you and I. They're a different nation than you and I. And if you're human, red, yellow, black, and white, doesn't matter. If you are human, you are of the same peoples as everybody else is. These are not us. They're not the same as us. They have a different body than we do. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 15. And them coming to this earth makes them aliens here on this earth because they don't belong here. This is not their estate. Remember what Jude said. The angels that sinned left their first estate. They left heaven. And they came to earth, cast out, thrown out. The alien agenda is real, but you have to understand who the aliens are. They are very, very evil spirits. I've never seen a UFO. I don't know that I'd want to. I've never been abducted by aliens. Or I'll say it like this. There was a show came on Sci-Fi Channel years ago, and it was sort of doing a thing on the alien visitation and alien encounters, things like that. But they were throwing some parody in with it. They're throwing some kind of funny ideas in with it. And one of the statistics was that most people who have been abducted by aliens have no remembrance whatsoever of the abduction. Therefore, if you have no remembrance whatsoever of being abducted by aliens, you probably were. Okay? I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, where was I going with this? Aliens, chariots. This guy says he can summon them by meditation. If I'm right, then what he said is true. Meditation practices, yoga practices. Do you know what the word yoga means? The word yoga is related to the word yoke, Y-O-K-E. Yoga means to yoke together with the gods. You study it out. The word yoga means yoke, connected. How many of these churches have connecting points in their church? Points of connection. We want to make a connection. We want you to connect with us. It's yoga. It's a yoga concept. That's what it is. We want to connect with God in a new and exciting way. You mean by bypassing the mediator, Jesus Christ? Because that's what they want. But here we have the aliens. We have the humans. And the meditation practices, when people go into altered states of consciousness, when people go into, they empty their minds in meditation, when people do that, and they say that they hear God inside of them, they're not hearing from God. They are hearing from what Saul heard from. They are hearing from a familiar spirit. It wasn't Samuel. It was meant to look like Samuel. It was meant to sound like Samuel, but it was not Samuel. How do I know? How do I know for sure that it could have been Samuel? No, it couldn't have. For several reasons. But the biggest reason is the Bible specifically says in that same chapter that God stopped speaking to Saul by way of any of the prophets, the Urim and Thummim, or by dreams and visions. He stopped talking to Saul. Saul was not going to hear God's voice any longer. So what does he do? He goes to a witch, Endora, right? Goes to Endora, asked her to do by a familiar spirit, bring up Samuel for me. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, but it wasn't Samuel. It was another Samuel. Just like there's another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. If God has these angels as chariots, these other evil angels are the aliens that can be brought up by the collective world consciousness. This guy says, I meditate, and then I summon forth these familiar spirits, or these UFOs, or whatever it is. That's the connection right there. Yoking together with these angels that left their first estate. This is not the only guy that I've ever heard of that claims that by performing some sort of ritual, they can make UFOs appear in the sky. It's not the first time I've heard this. So to me, it's a second witness. I think it can be done because these UFOs, they are spirits. the little alien figures in them, those are evil spirits. And just as with meditation, with yoga, with any of these occult rituals, you can summon, facing north, south, east, west, you can summon these devils. So I believe this guy can summon UFOs by performing the rituals that draw these certain evil angels into this realm. My firm, absolute firm position, my belief is when God kicks out Satan and a third of the angelic realm, when he throws them out of heaven to this earth, I believe that these evil angels come to the earth are going to represent a mass deception on the entire world. They are going to bill themselves to humanity as, we are from a distant planet. We have come to your planet to save you. We are your saviors. You know what they're going to do? You get ready for this one. You get ready for this one. Do you know what those aliens, those angels, right? You know what they're going to do? They are going to pretend to be the saviors of the world. But they're not. Let's see, where was I going here? Was it Ephesians? I've been getting so excited today over getting some of this stuff out. I'm chasing all these rabbits. Can't remember where I was supposed to go to. Ephesians 6 talks about what these really are. These are principalities. Ephesians 6. Let's see here. What am I saying Ephesians 4? I'm in Galatians. No wonder I couldn't find it. Galatians, Ephesians. There we go. Ephesians 6. Wrestle not against principalities, but against powers, rulers of the darkness, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. A war with the aliens. I believe these angels, when they fall, they're going to pretend to be of the angelic realm. I remember now where I was going with this. Okay. And they're going to pretend to be the saviors of the world. Trying to think, the movie Starman. Jeff Bridges is an alien. He falls to the earth. His ship wrecks. He falls to the earth. He meets up with this woman, Jenny Hagen. She's going to help him get back on his ship so he can go back up into the heavens like Jesus did. But he tells her, you know, you have a baby growing inside of you. It's going to be my son. And he is going to, when he grows up, he's going to be a great teacher on this planet. Dun, dun, dun. These angels, when they appear, I believe they will present themselves as aliens from a distant world, a distant place, or ascended spirits, or whatever you want to call them. That's what they're going to pretend to be the saviors of the earth. They are the ones that Paul was talking about in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul told them, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven bring you in or preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Okay? As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. And I believe that when these angels are cast out of heaven, coming to earth, appear to be the saviors of mankind. These are going to be the gods. Let me read this to you. Let's tie this together. Go to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. There's God warns about false prophets. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Right here, God says false prophets are going to do false signs and lying wonders, and those signs and wonders are going to come to pass. They're going to be true. But then they're going to say, let us go after other gods to follow them. Those other gods, I believe, are that one third of angels that's getting tossed out of heaven. And they're not going to present themselves as the evil beast that they are. They're going to present themselves. Remember, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. All of these angels are going to appear as these wonderful, brilliant creatures that are going to save our world. And literally, what that's going to do is it's going to destroy, in some people's minds, every religious idea and practice in the earth. Or maybe it'll just destroy Bible Christianity. Because think about it. Here you have not one God coming to the earth, but an untold number of fallen angels coming to the earth. And I believe that they are going to preach a gospel that is going to make it look like they're going to save mankind and wipe away the curse of death for man for all of eternity. They're deceiving people. If you read Deuteronomy 13, let's see here. In verse 6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, okay, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto them, or hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, thou shalt neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Let's see here. Then it says in verse 13, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Three occurrences in that one chapter where God is warning specific ways that people are going to be drawn away to following after these fallen angels and receive their spirit and receive their quote-unquote gospel. Think about it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, by which we are saved, is contained in four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which correspond to the four bases that join your DNA rungs together, adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine. These angels from heaven are going to bring a different gospel, still based on the number four. This is the fourth kingdom. It's going to be another gospel. It's going to be a different gospel. And I absolutely believe that it is going to involve the base pairs of DNA, which there's four of them. I just recorded this next week's Watchmen broadcast. And the symbols of earth, air, fire, and water. If you have not seen the previous Watchmen, go watch it. And then I pick it back up today, sort of where I left off. I kind of backed up a little bit. But I show you that the triangles of the elements, the symbols, there's two pointing up, two pointing down. And there's two of them that have a line going through the middle of them. You know what that represents? What it means is that part of those triangles are whole and the other two are broken, because it has a line through them. And that's exactly what is said of the fourth kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. They are partly strong, partly broken. But those four triangles represent the four elements, represents the four sides of a pyramid, represents the four seasons, represents the four high holy days on the calendar. It represents all of that. And it represents another gospel that I think is going to be based upon man's DNA. I think, and they're working on this right now, to enable mankind to be fighting all of the diseases so that he is an immortal. He is a God. This is why the quote-unquote ministry of these fallen angels is going to be sought after and followed. This is why your friends, your neighbors, your family members, the people you work with are going to try to convince you to go after these other gods and serve them. You're going to have people in your own family who are going to try to trick you into following these gods, these aliens. They're going to try to do it. They're going to mock you. They're going to ridicule you, you King James cult people. They're going to try every trick in the book to get you to walk away from the Word of God and to go after these lights in the sky. These things that look like wheels, ships, chariots going through the air. Let's go after them. That's what they're going to say. False prophets are going to arise. The false prophet is going to arise, and he's going to deceive everybody. And they're going to believe the lie. So I do believe that this guy has the ability to summon devils. Every practitioner of the occult, that's what they're doing. And it's all leading up to a day when an angel or a group of angels is going to appear in the sky, come down to the earth, and establish a new world order, which is the fourth kingdom. And everybody that you know that is lost is going to try to convince you into following after those other gods. Now, you might say, well, I thought we were raptured before all this happens. Says who? Says who? I believe what 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us, that day, our gathering together unto Christ, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's what I think that you and I are going to see with our own eyes here on this earth. And God is going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I think it's, I don't know for sure, I think it's possible that delusion is these angels appearing in the sky, coming down from heaven with a different gospel. That's what I think. So whether it's witchcraft or whether it's yoga, which is connecting with the gods, whether it is transcendental meditation where you empty your mind, doesn't matter who's practicing what religion and what ritual they're doing. There are certain things that wakes devils up and causes them to do what you want them to do. Did you know that standing at the four corners of the earth, corresponding to the four elements, that on every corner, there is a tower called a watchtower? You ever heard of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society? On these watchtowers, there is a dragon who is the lord of that tower. So in other words, there's one dragon for air, another one for water, one for fire, one for the earth. And according to witchcraft, these dragons are up there and they're asleep. And the witches say, you have to be careful. If you want to invoke their powers for you, you have to be careful, because if you wake them up in a harsh manner, they'll destroy you. They're beasts. Right? So their gods are sleeping, and they're dragons, and you have to very gently try to invoke them into your presence. And then they will do what magic you want them to perform. People, That sounds just like the name it, claim it doctrine. It sounds just like the idea that if you want to get in touch with God, you have to perform rituals. And by the way, there is a God mentioned in the Bible that was asleep at a very critical time. Does anybody know who it was? Baal. The prophets of Baal were trying to get their sacrifice burnt with fire from heaven. And Elijah was mocking them, and he said, what, is your God, is he out pursuing somewhere? Or maybe he's asleep. Let me tell you something. My God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't. Southern Raised has a song out on their newest album. I love it. Don't stay up all night. Don't stay up all night, because God will stay up. And the idea of the song is, if you got things worrying you, go to bed knowing that God has heard your prayer and he's going to do something for you and watch over you. So don't stay up all night, because God already is. I love that song. Okay. Anyway, that's my little spiel on aliens. So I think different practices can invoke spirits, these elemental spirits. And I think witches do it. I think wizards do it. I think New Agers do it. I think people who practice contemplative prayer do it. Let me get back to that contemplative prayer thing. They tell people, whether they're a Christian or not, did you know you don't have to be saved and be a born-again Christian? And you don't even have to be a bad Christian. You can be a Muslim, a Buddhist. You can be an atheist. But they teach you that if you go into this meditative state where you alter your consciousness and you remove your whole head, your brain becomes a void. That when you get there, you're going to hear a whispering voice. And they will tell you, that's the voice of God. God speaks in a whisper, doesn't he? And they will say, the Bible says that God spoke to Elijah in a whisper. No, he didn't. God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. See, a whisper is speech without the voice. That's what a whisper is. All right? A still, small voice uses the voice, but it doesn't whisper. Why am I saying this? If Isaiah 29, I want you to look here. Think Bible. Isaiah 29, and thou shalt be brought down and shall not speak out of the ground, and thy dust shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. The whispering voice that these people are hearing on the inside of them is not God. But they're told to believe it is. They're told to believe that they now can go directly to God through this meditative, emptying your mind thought process, this trance, and there you're going to hear directly from God and talk to God. And what you're doing is you're bypassing the mediator, Jesus Christ. You are saying to Jesus, it doesn't matter anymore. I can bypass you and go directly to God. Did you know the lodge, the Masonic lodge, when they pray, they never close the prayer in Jesus' name. Do you know why? Because Masonry teaches that both your righteousness and the fact that they can pray without using Jesus' name, they're teaching you that you can have access to the great architect of the universe, and you don't need the cross and Jesus' blood to do it. You have a lambskin apron. By the way, you know what Masons are? When they wear their lambskin apron? Wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what they are. But they do not mention in their prayers in Jesus' name, because they say, well, we don't want to offend, you know, Jews or anything like that. Fooey on that. They're doing it because they believe they can bypass the mediator. In the Bible, you can't do that. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Okay? Stick with that. Let's see. I was going to read some emails, weren't I? Let's see what's on your mind here. Let's go back here. Let's see. Okay, yeah, I see. What else? What else? What else? What else? Anybody? 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 Oh, I'm glad you asked. Sherry, I am glad you asked. Hi, Pastor Mike. What are your thoughts on September 23rd? Revelation 12 taking place as we speak. Jupiter is in the womb of Virgo. Please talk to us about it. We really value what you have to say. Sherry, I love you, and all you out there listening to me, I love you. But I want to tell you something. When you go out at night and you're able to see the stars, what do you see? Do you see a bull? Mm-mm, you don't. Do you see a scorpion? No. When you go out, do you see, what are some of the other 12? Well, the Virgin. When you go outside and look at the stars, do you see a virgin woman up there? No. Because, I mean, they always told us, you know, in school, okay, the constellations, you know, different constellations. This here is a bull. And that, and ancient man would look up and see a cluster of stars and say, that's a bull right there. And I would go out at night and I'm going, I don't see a bull. That doesn't look like a bull to me. And here's my point on this, Lisa. Or Sherry. At no time in the Bible do you anywhere hear of God naming the 12 constellations, naming one a bull, one a Sagittarius, which is like the goat thing. God did not name a certain cluster of stars as Cancer or Canker, whatever. God did not name a certain, that's the crab, whatever the crab is, all right? Cancer. God did not name a cluster of stars after a bull, after a dragon, after, let's see, what else is in there? A scorpion? God did not name them that way. Man did that. So to say that Jupiter is in the womb of Virgo, where is that in the Bible? Where is that? And I know you're saying it speaks of Revelation 12. You heard that from YouTube videos, or you read Facebook posts, or any of that stuff. You have never read in the Bible anything about Jupiter being in the womb of Virgo. You don't even see in the Bible where God named a cluster of stars the Virgin. That's not in the Bible. A lot of astrology has crept into Christian thought. And no wonder. The Bible's not there. So it creates a void, and the devil's going to fill that void. So anyway, number one, I am saying without any reservation whatsoever that the rapture will not be at any time on Saturday, September the 23rd. Categorically. I want it out on record. I'm saying it live. I'm going to send this to YouTube and to Sermon Audio. It'll be on Facebook. And I want everybody to know that the people who are saying that the rapture is going to take place on September 23rd, they are lying through their teeth. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I want you to do. All of those videos and all those posts where people talked about the rapture occurring on September 23rd, I want you to save them. Print out the articles. Keep track of the YouTube videos. And on Sunday morning, September the 24th, write these people an email and say, will you now apologize for lying to everybody? I bet you they won't do it. So, I don't think, Sherry, that studying the positions of stars and planets, I don't think that should be used to interpret Bible prophecy. Because again, at no time does the Word of God ever ascribe any of the star clusters in heaven as the names of the zodiac signs. God did not do that. Man did that. And by the way, Jupiter was one of those pagan Roman gods. So I don't know what significance it has of Jupiter being in the womb of Virgo. I don't get it. Because to me, when I read that, I'm just going, that sounds more like the appearance of the Antichrist rather than the coming of Christ. Okay? I don't believe it. I don't buy it. And I don't study astrology with the idea of trying to meld astrology, the zodiac, into Bible doctrines or Bible prophecy or Bible teachings. I don't think it's right. Because God does not mention it. Did he give us signs to look for? Absolutely he does. And all of those, every one of them, are in the Bible. So I think it's a great mistake. Sherry, you have to understand how many other people have tried this. How many people, not just since YouTube has started, but I can remember even in the 70s, growing up in church, hearing people talk about the coming of the Lord and how it might correspond with this zodiac sign or whatever. I don't believe it. These people have all been wrong. People that I hear or have heard growing up having an interest in prophecy, even as a child, talking about how, you know, they knew that the rapture was going to happen on such and such date and so on. And every one of these people has been wrong. And all of these people who are hyping up this September 23rd rapture, every one of them is lying through their teeth, and not one of them will apologize for it. Not one of them. Instead, you know what's going to happen? They're going to put out some more idiotic stuff. And some, not all, some of the same people who fell for the rapture fraud are going to fall for the next fraud. God said there are people around that are like that. They are blown around with every wind of doctrine, and they are Athenians. There's two types of people in the book of Acts, the Bereans. The Bereans heard the apostles preach and speak, and they said, okay, we're going to go confirm it in the scriptures before we believe it. Paul didn't say, what, you don't believe me? Well, you're going to hell. He didn't say that. He said, yeah, search the scripture. He said, think Bible. The Bereans were the first ones to think Bible. But the Athenians, they always wanted the very next wave to come in. That's what they were going to do. The newest doctrine idea, the newest prophecy theory. And you have people out there that go from one nut job prophecy clown to another. One crazed lunatic, one closet astrologer, trying to come up with a date for the rapture. When God called me to study Bible prophecy, the first thing I wanted to do was try to find the date of the rapture. And God let that go for a few months, and God finally said, Mike, stop it. Stop it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And when God relieved me of that burden, I shifted my focus to studying what God wanted me to know. And but I that's the one thing I wanted to do, was I wanted to know the day and the hour. And I felt like it was in the Bible. I still believe it's in the Bible, but it hasn't been revealed yet. But so many of these people coming up with dates and ideas and why they're right on this. They put it out there, but they will not apologize. And then the Athenians will go right after their very next set of lies. There's always going to be people out there that are going to be Athenians to go after all the new things. Okay? So I'm glad I had that in my mind to talk about today. So Sherry, I'm glad that you brought it up. Okay? And I just want to very strongly encourage you and anybody else listening to me. Okay? There's a lot of stuff, social media out there. There's a lot of stuff out there. Don't believe everything you say. Don't listen. There's at least a hundred different pictures of guys excavating bones, giant bones from the ground. They're fakes. I don't trust photographs anymore. I don't. Not with Photoshop. I don't trust videos much anymore. Not with the ability to use computer-generated graphics to make something look like a UFO or some kind of ship or something like that land. Or flying around that. I don't believe that stuff anymore. Because it can be hoaxed so much. So I just want to encourage you. I mean, you had a question. I hope I answered it well. And I hope you didn't think that I was talking about you. Because I'm not. I'm not upset with you in any way for bringing it up. I am upset with the people who lied to you. Because I feel like they ought to apologize for it. And they won't. Okay? So I appreciate that. Here's the Money Talks lyrics. Tailored suit, chauffeured cars, fine hotels, big cigars, up for grabs, up for a price. Where the red hot girls keep on dancing through the night, the claim is on you, the sights are on me, so what do? That's guaranteed. Hey, little girl, you want it all? You want it all? The furs, the diamonds, the painting on the wall? Come on, love me for the money. Come on, listen to the money talk. Come on, love me for the money. That's harlotry is what that song is about, a harlot. That's what I'm getting. Oh, good night. I can't even read the rest of the lyrics online. And that was done at a church. What a world we live in. Watchmen video broadcast coming out this Sunday. You're going to love it. I woke up this morning, turned the news on, saw a commercial, and I had to pause the commercial and get my phone out to take a picture of the logo that I saw on this commercial, this TV advertisement. And you'll see it, okay? You'll see it this Sunday. Pray for us here. We love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. And we want to continue on doing it. Pray for us. Support us if you can. Help us out. Help us out with the expenses of running our radio station, sending Michael over there to do what he does. You know, that gets pretty expensive. So just, if you can help us out, we certainly appreciate it. Those of you who have businesses, send me a little bit of information about your business or your particular product or whatever it is. Send me free samples, okay? And I'll try it, all right? And again, you don't have to pay me anything for this, okay? You're God's people. And I want God to bless you, and I want to be a blessing to you, all right? Anyway, I love you. Thanks for tuning in today. We will see you on the Lord's Day. Woo! Ready to preach. Talk to you later.